Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Every Friday at 9 o'clock, we talk Chiefs. Welcome into the Chiefs Roundtable, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
First of all, it's not about one guy. I mean, you started the question with a, it's an overall, we haven't been good. That's a true statement. That's the reality. To focus on one person, I don't think is fair. Did Dan struggle a little bit last week? Yeah. In answer to your question about the more snaps and all that, we take, you know, a guy has a starting position. We think he's been doing a good job with that. Sometimes when you have plays that to the eye of everybody in there look worse than other ones, nobody sees the plays that he's making when you're covering somebody and don't throw it there. That's always been the case. So I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I think Dan's had a lot of good snaps for us. Juan will play for us as well. We'll work through who's playing where, what we're doing package-wise. I'm not going to go deep into that because we're getting ready to play a team. I'm not going to tell everybody what we're doing. But I get your question. I don't know if I've answered your question, but that's about what I would say on that.
I didn't catch it earlier, but he said we're about ready to play a team, and he's technically correct. They're playing the Washington football team, so it was a little ironic there. That is Steve Spagnuolo leading us into our Chiefs roundtable. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, and Alex Gold from Cody and Gold joining us in studio. Before we get to Dan Sorensen and Dave Merritt, the defensive backs coach, Pete was discussing his own athleticism yesterday and said that he has only a 6-inch vertical leap, and that some of you probably have a 15-inch vertical leap. You're about the only one we said that might have an opportunity to have a 15-inch vertical leap.
You're the only semi-athletic member of the media in that room that day.
I quickly refuted. I said, sir, I doubt that, but you can continue on with your point.
Yeah, there it is. That's the point. We know you have no.
This is right. We know where everybody's vertical is at this station.
That's right.
And none of us are close.
Hiding, like, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. I didn't. Oh, I might have had no vertical.
Yeah, that's right. The combine at this point needs to be altered anyway, because I feel like we know the results. We know where we're at.
Not if you train all year.
Are you training?
Well, I'm with Alex. We need to start doing like cone drills and stuff.
Do different drills?
Because Because my vertical's not going to change now. It is what
I
it
think
is.
If you're in the Survivor League, you should be able
not
to partake
attitude,
in the 6'10 combine. Get everyone in the Survivor League there.
Then are you trying to stump
strike,
to get into the combine?
I do it.
You have a strike, Pete.
Yeah,
you got to make it to week 10 to get in, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to be in the 6'10 combine. But if you do,
right,
we can get you in the 6'10 combine. I mean, it's a simple ask. You're in.
Just like I did yesterday, I'm going to back off. I'm backing up.
What do you guys make of it, though? We've got assistant coaches out here really grasping at straws. I mean, like this is like almost like I got nothing, what do you got type of situation. We're talking about poor eye leverage. We're talking about eye leverage, and then they said that we don't know Jaron Reed is really doing good things because he's a good communicator and he calls good plays. Like, we are at the bottom of the barrel right now, and to me, we're going into week 6, and everybody's got the, oh my God, we didn't prepare for this at all, for this defense to be like this, and now we have no answers.
Yeah, when it comes to the Jaron Reed thing, I think they're just starting to look themselves in the mirror a little bit. You're seeing Turk Wharton play a little bit more, and then when it came to the eye level stuff yesterday, I believed Dave Merritt. Like, I just don't think he was waving something to distract us. I think they really feel like it's a fixable problem, and it seems like the defensive backs are lost I tweeted out yesterday, I really feel like this is the week that they do make a change from Daniel Sorensen. And the last time we saw Juan Thornhill with real snaps in the second half against the Browns, he was playing really well. And I think you're playing a team that you should beat without the changes anyway. Like, if I think it, I know what we've seen over the past couple of weeks, but even if Daniel Sorensen stayed in the lineup, I think you're still beating the Washington football team. Uh-huh. So why not just try to make the change now, get Thornhill and his feet under him, and then in a couple of weeks when you're playing the Titans and then the Green Bay Packers, do you feel good about the defense?
You made a statement there that I think is pretty key to this whole thing of Sorensen versus Thornhill. You said he played great in the second half, or good in the second half. I don't want to put words into your mouth, against the Browns. You know what else happened in the second half against the Browns? They actually got after the quarterback.
Chris Jones had two sacks. Line.
Chris Jones had sacks. They got after the quarterback. And so we can sit here and debate and beleaguer Daniel Sorensen versus Juan Thornhill every single day of the week, but until that defensive line decides they want to earn a paycheck, I just can't sit here and blame safeties on this.
Yeah, it's easy for Jaron Reed to hide, right? It's like you can hide on the defensive line a little bit easier. Like, yeah. Daniel Sorensen's out on an island.
Right.
Not that he's been good by any means, but it's just that's I'm
is
with
that
you.
Sorensen Island?
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah. It does look like a lot like Revis Island at the end by the time he was in Kansas City. Yeah, that's where things are headed. But like, as far as the coaches and what they're saying, I mean, none of us expect, they're not going to go up on the podium, of course, and be like, yeah, you what? Jaron Reed has sucked.
No.
They're not going to say that, but it does, I mean, I'm sure they are stunned. Like, I mean, you would have to be. Even if the defense hadn't been a strength of this team by any means, but to have them be literally the worst defense in football 6 weeks in, yeah, I'm sure they had no idea. Nobody sees this coming.
And trending to be the worst defense in the history of the NFL. Like, not just the worst defense this year. They're trending historically bad. Is shell shock the way to describe the defensive coaching staff when it comes to these guys right now?
I hate to give them excuses because everyone gets injured in the National Football League, but this is a team that has had a lot of injuries and significant ones at every single level the entire year. And so I think it's been unacceptable for sure, but when you're missing, you have Frank Clark out for a few weeks, and finally, okay, Clark's...
He's missed two consecutive years now.
You're like, Clark's feeling good. Chris Jones is out of the lineup. Willie Gay, who was going to be, I thought, at times at training camp, he looked like the best Chiefs defensive player. That includes Tyrann Mathieu and Chris Jones. He was out to begin the season. You have been missing Charvarius Ward. We talked about Daniel Sorensen, who has felt, unfortunately to say, like an injured player. So I feel like, you know, you get some of these guys back, you get a little healthier. I don't think you're a world-beating defense. We got to back up in the sense that maybe we were thinking, oh, this could be the best defensive line in the league. Whoa, I don't know about that anymore. But you can at least, I think, get to average as the health improves, and if the offense turns the ball over less, you're winning most Sundays.
I think shell-shocked would absolutely describe it when you're talking about, yeah, we gotta divert our eyes and watch the player and guard them. Mm-hmm. And you said, and he mentioned like Pop Warner football. I'm like, they're really like cutting this thing back
to
down
basics big time,
man.
Yeah.
Like we, if you're frustrated, it'd be like, yeah, we shouldn't have to spend time on this. We shouldn't be at this level defensively that we have to spend time on. Okay, guys, remember, look at the guy you're guarding and go guard him. I mean, it's really been broken down defensively, it sounded like to me.
They don't have a ton of young guys either. I mean, Willie Gay Jr., you bring him up, and other than that, I mean, there's Bolton. Not and Nick Bolton. That's about it, though. Everybody else has either played in the league for a little bit or already in this system. That's the stunning part about
it. It's year three. Yeah. This isn't year one. And in year one, I gave them a pass. I told Josh right from the start when Spags got here, first month of the season is off the table. We're not talking about the defense for the first month of the season. But now we're in year three. This is worse than the first month under a new system. That's what I don't understand. For the majority of guys, they've been here. They've been through this system. Maybe they all just got old at one point in time. And that happens. I mean, athletes, as you guys know, the light goes out like that. They go from being really good to old in an off season. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're just seeing that with some of these guys right now.
I think it's fair. I also think that this defense came with high expectations. And I think it does start with the defensive line. And you focus on Jaron Reed, and I think the Chiefs are optimistic that he could turn it around as he continues to get used to the system. But if you can get Chris Jones and Frank Clark, I think that makes Jaron Reed better. I think that makes Derek Nnadi better. some of these rotational guys. Mike Danna actually has been a pleasant surprise. And okay, now you're getting people in the lineup and they're fresh and you're rotating them out. Like, you don't necessarily have to play Frank Clark a ton of plays because you can rotate Danna, who is no longer really a liability, but an advantage for you in. And so the health of this team is just critical. And I think once you can get the fully healthy defensive line, that has been historically why Steve Spagnuolo defenses have worked. It's like, you don't necessarily need the talent behind you at a high level if you're getting pressure on the quarterback. That has probably been the most significant problem with this Chiefs defense.
It feels like the perfect storm a little bit too, because obviously the personnel is not going to change. This is for the most part the personnel that they're going to have. But if you look at where the league has been trending this year, we were talking about this yesterday on the show. We know everybody's going for more fourth down conversions. So you're already a bad defense, and then now you're asked to get four straight stops on the field. So it elevates. That's why the numbers might be as bad as they are. We know teams are converting more third downs than they have ever before, and we know it's the second highest scoring season in NFL history already. So I think it was already going to be bad, but why has it gotten historically bad? To your point, like, I think it's this perfect storm of everything coming together, plus the schedule that they faced.
I was going to say, and you got beat by three playoff teams.
You did, yeah.
But that aren't surprise playoff teams out of nowhere. Those are three teams you expect to be playoff teams.
Yeah, and you say that, and while I agree with that, I'm like, but you're the defending AFC champs.
I know,
That shouldn't mess with you.
Normally you hold off those things, but yeah. I'm saying you are playing good teams.
It's, right.
It's
not like you're losing to the Dolphins and the Jaguars and the Jets.
I mean, the 387 yards passing from Jalen Hurts aside, you beat a team pretty handily. And feel, like, had that one been a loss and Jalen Hurts racks it up on you, then you're completely freaking out. Like,
but the Eagles still moved the ball.
That's a bad football team. I can kind of dismiss it a little bit. But yeah, you didn't probably show enough. Probably didn't show enough positives in that game to make anybody feel great about it.
This should be a get healthy game, I would hope, for both sides of the ball.
This is the game this weekend where if somehow they were to drop it, you're talking about, is this team going to make the playoffs?
100%, yeah.
I've been asked, you know, are the Chiefs in trouble of making the playoffs? No. You know, but if they lose to a team like Washington, who they should be in another class, then I think you start to actually have that conversation. I don't think they're there.
Do you lose the locker room if you lose to Washington, too? Like, do people start focusing on their offseason plans in week six?
No,
you know?
I don't think it gets to that, but it definitely becomes what is an uphill battle and a significant one. And you start, I think, to have that doubt internally creep in, and that's, like, not a place you want to be. And that's why I know it seems like a meaningless Chiefs-Washington game and a throwaway game, but it's just critical to essentially right the ship. You need to right the ship now so you could have a chance weeks later against a team like the Green Bay Packers, against these divisional games that you're going to have after the bye. And you're right about the three playoff teams. And what's interesting about them is they really only got badly beaten by the Bills. I don't know if there was a scenario in which the Chiefs were winning. The Bills just
no,
came
that
in.
Was the only game they should have lost. They
100%
could have won and should have won the others if they don't turn the football over, too.
Right, and are we as panicked if this is a one-loss team right now? Probably not, and they're so close there. The difference in, like, the past 10 to 15 games prior to was they were winning these close games. They were the anti-Chargers, in a sense. And what's different is the small margin, they turn the ball over, and now you're suddenly, oh, you're really worried. The offense usually comes through. And that's why I think you're going to see them play well against these other teams. The next measuring stick will be the Packers 4 weeks from now.
It is our Chiefs Roundtable. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride and Alex Gold from Cody and Gold will discuss the pressure to score, score, score next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Welcome back into the Chiefs Roundtable, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
Not at all. I mean, for us, like you said, I mean, we try to score every single time we touch the football. That's how it's been my entire career here. That's how it was. That was kind of the precedent that was set before I even started here. And that's kind of how I have my mindset going into every single game, is that when we get an opportunity to go out there and have success and be successful, we have to capitalize that. And that has nothing to do with whatever is happening on the other side of the ball. It's just our job as an offense on this team.
That is Patrick Mahomes on the pressure to score every time. It is our Chiefs Roundtable. Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride, and Alex Gold of Cody and Gold, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. A dream bigger. I feel like that has been the mindset of this offense for like a number. Even in Patrick Mahomes' first year, I mean, yeah. We didn't even tell him the defense was bad, right? Just go score a bunch of points. Texas Tech, he pretty much did that, right? Just go score a bunch of points. Maybe for the first time, he's got to consider, oh, yeah, that defense, I got to help them out, too. This may be a little pivot time for the quarterback.
But also what he has to think about, too, is this isn't 2018 where I just arrived on the scene and I can do what I want. People are playing me different now. So not only does he have to score on every drive.
Also out on me a little
bit. He's got to figure out a different way to go score on every drive.
And they've shown in the past that there have been stretches, not at the beginning of the season necessarily, but there were stretches where it wasn't this exact same defense that teams were showing, but there's been stretches where they've had three or four games in a row and teams seem to figure out the Chiefs offense or figured out Mahomes, and it took them a couple weeks and then they were able to snap out of it. And so I think when you look at Andy Reid and the track record there, I mean, I think most Chiefs fans probably have faith that they'll on the offensive side of things, they're going to get this thing figured out. Defense is a different story, but on offense, that's an area that ultimately I'm not as concerned about at all.
I have a positive here to make people feel better today, because I started to write about Patrick Mahomes' problems, and I'm like, I got to put an extra paragraph in here. We're talking about the league leader in touchdowns, quarterback rating, seventh in yards, and he has a top 10 passer rating, the old school passer rating. And so as you're doing it, you're like, man, this is a quarterback playing badly? Like, this is where we're at in Kansas City, and it's true. I mean, he could be playing better because we've gotten so conditioned to the perfect quarterback play, and he is pressing and there is problems. And I think that is a sign of the times, in a sense, like 2-3 is completely unacceptable because the Chiefs are in this Super Bowl or bust window.
Right.
And I think you're right. The offense is going to be figured out. I mean, you can almost assume that is this defense long-term going to prevent them from getting to where they want to be.
And the offense just doesn't have to figure things out. They just got to stop the turnovers.
Right,
I mean, 100%. And I say, like, I hate saying, and we've said it a lot, other than the turnovers are obviously huge, but they're moving the ball. Mitch Holtis told us this morning they've had 46 drives so far this year and only 2-3 and outs. I mean, they're moving the ball. They're on pace to have a record number of first downs in NFL history. They're scoring 33 points per game, and they're 2-3, so what's the problem? Obviously, the defense. But in my opinion, I'm done with the defense. There's no fixing that thing right now. So if Mahomes just protects the ball better, I know he can do that. That's why I'm kind of, I don't want to say putting the pressure on him, but I believe that Patrick Mahomes can get the turnover thing figured out before I can figure out what the hell's going on the other side
of
the ball.
You're in the win shootout mentality. Right
now. Yeah, you are. Because as I said earlier, I can't even call them defense anymore because they defend nothing.
Oh, wow.
But when you're tied with the Jaguars and anything, you know you've got some problems. And you got the Chiefs aren't going to turn it over 37 times this year, which I think is the pace that they're currently on. That's not going to happen. Turnovers are turnovers, but we've watched, the Bills game, we've watched some of these. Some of them are a bit fluky, too. And that's they go down as turnovers, but Tyreek Hill catches that ball, 99% of the time? That thing doesn't get batted up in the air and lead to a pick six. Some of these, I believe, will absolutely go away. And
Gregory Rousseau or whatever.
That hell of a play by him.
Yeah. My goodness. Slide fumbled twice, and he had not fumbled all of last year. It's a very small margin, and the difference right now is the Chiefs usually were on the good side of this in previous years and previous seasons. Again, and we talked about it before the break, they deserve to lose the Buffalo game. That team was better. They were going to win 9 times out of 10 on that night, regardless of the penalties and whatever.
All of that,
they were
right.
Winning those other two games last year, and then it's a whole different conversation if they're sitting there 4-1 right now instead of 2-3.
Right, because we all knew they were going to win the Baltimore game. You guys were both in the stadium that day. You knew they were driving down and winning that football game, and then the fumble happens. But they really lost momentum, and Josh has talked about it, and Alex, you were there as well. When Patrick threw that interception, they didn't score again, and the air kind of went out of them at that moment, and it seems like they were never able to really recover from an offensive standpoint after that interception that he threw in Baltimore. And then we saw, what happened in the Charger game with turnovers as well.
Your friends, Bob at PFF, they come up with a stat for everything. I'm almost surprised it's not a like a pressure key moment turnover number. The Chiefs are leading the NFL, and when they turn it over, it's at the keyest moments.
That's a good stat. They're probably thinking about that right now. You better trademark that, or semi-pro football out of focus is going to steal it.
I like the keyest moments.
The keyest moments. Because sometimes, you turn over, kind of overcome it. First quarter fumble, whatever. Oh, no big deal. It seems like the Chiefs they've just been very magnified-type turnovers.
A lot of them have been on third down, if I'm not mistaken. Some Mahomes picks have been on third down, to your point about pressing. A lot of them have occurred on those third down situations where you feel like you got to have it. If not, you're punting the ball immediately.
I'm sorry, Ryan was talking to me. I didn't hear what he said.
Sorry, we were having our own conversation.
Here's a little, don't
look to me guys, all of a sudden.
That was hilarious. I just can't share it.
You can't share it on the air. How about that onside kick theory? I bet
So Bob's... from the everybody's trying to help category, Bob would just suggest that the Chiefs just onside kick every time.
8% of the time you're going to recover it. It's better than the percentage of the defense getting a stop.
And then the defense just plays on a short field, and if they're going to score, they're going to score at least quick.
The problem also, too, like you go to the Buffalo game, which we've agreed they deserve to lose, so all of a sudden the defense actually started playing well, forcing three punts, and then the offense
then they
was a
right
mess,
back to the pumpkin.
And they can't put anything together right now. It seems just like everything is going awry. In a sense, you know, we say that it could be 4-1. They could be worse than 2-3 also, too. And you have to acknowledge that. So it's just about, like, this weekend is about cleaning it up. Clean it up. And if you clean it up, you're going to be one of the better teams in the NFL. It's been a mess so far.
He wasn't taking you seriously on that. He just glossed right over that. The onside kick. He didn't want any part of the onside kick. So he thought you were joking. Bob's joking. Bob's serious, Pete. Serious? He's very serious.
I am serious about that.
He's serious. Yeah.
I'm not joking about that. I don't think it's a joke because I'm to the point now, and you can't tell me how to feel, right? You can't tell anybody how to feel. Everybody has their own feelings. I don't feel like this defense can stop anybody or will ever get a stop. So why do I want to put them out there?
Or you want to only put them out there for
a short field. Four plays a quarter or something is all you want out of them?
Yeah, here's Kyle Brandt reacting to my theory.
I'm 100% in.
Thank you.
I'm like a shark tank. I want to tell you that I am in. And there is always, you always hear about, you know, these high school coaches or there's a college coach, Presbyterian, where they're like, their thing is, we always go for it on a fourth down no matter what. So, The only slight I would have against your theory is that I don't think it goes far enough. I think you onside every time. I think you go for it on fourth down every time. And every time you score, you go for two no matter what. So no punts, no kickoffs, and no extra points. And that point, that way, could maybe compensate for this defense, which, as you pointed out again, is so far past being the worst in the AFC West or the worst in the AFC or the worst in the NFL or the worst of the decade. The worst, ladies and gentlemen, ever. So drastic times are called for drastic measures. And by the way, I think they could probably do some pretty good onside kicks. Why not?
Well, and that's what I said. Andy Reid.
He was high most of the time.
Andy Reid needs to walk into Dave Tobe's office, supposed to be this great special teams guru, and say, listen.
How do we get this 8% chance up for me? How do we get it up from 8%?
Give me as many versions of the onside kick as you can. Create as many different versions of the onside kick as you can. Time's yours. And then work on that. What the hell else is a special teams coach doing?
I do think where the rest of the league has been so much more aggressive on fourth downs this year, in large part, certainly head-to-head against Kansas City, but even when they faced everybody else, I would like to see the Chiefs go with part of your theory, which is in what Kyle Brandt was saying, which is they're not punting the ball really anyway because they've been turning it over when they've even had a chance, but they should be going for fourth downs. I'm not with you on the onside kick, but they should be going for every fourth down.
Then you could get rid of the punter and the long snapper and have two additional defensive options.
Well, you still
need
somebody to get the ball back for extra points.
You just go for two.
No, you still need the long snapper, I'm saying.
Oh, correct. Unless you just go for two
every time. On the off chance you try a field goal at the end, though?
You may want to
figure this thing out.
Winchester and Tom and Tommy Townsend are going, what do we do wrong? Like, why are we getting dragged into this?
You haven't done anything wrong.
Special teams problem. You're cutting our jobs.
We really don't have a need for you anymore.
All seriousness, that's a significant problem, too, is opposing offenses just continuing to go for it on fourth down. And typically in previous years.
Why wouldn't you?
Until the Chiefs punish them for that and give Patrick Mahomes 40 yards to go and they're scoring touchdowns every single time, why not?
At this
point, teams are winning that way.
Absolutely.
And so you have these golden opportunities when you're the defense here, even if it's 4th-and-3, stop them. And then it's a 10-point, 14-point swing. It's just been so frustrating to watch.
So, Pete, is this the get-right, look-better type game?
The Chiefs have made me look so bad this year in predicting games.
Join the club, buddy.
I would like
I got a seat for you on my lap.
Bob, you predicted undefeated for the next 5 years. I won't forget.
I still think they're going to win. They could run the table for the next 5 years. It just resets every week, Pete.
Plus or minus 3 at this point. That's fine.
I got to think that they beat the Washington football team. This is also a struggling team. Of these two struggling teams, you're the team with Patrick Mahomes. I think the next time you could possibly pick them to lose maybe the Titans, certainly next against week. The Packers. They should handle Washington and the Giants, anything NFC East except maybe the Cowboys, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we'll talk about this for the next 4 hours coming up at 10. I'm with you. Taylor Heinicke, can they prevent him from throwing for 300 yards? Is that possible?
Taylor Heinicke has more 20-yard pass completions than Mahomes does. I saw that on Arrowhead Pride this morning. That was a stunning stat that makes you think.
Well,
I never make the tweets to make you the think category, though.
Their defense has been a surprise.
We'll make sure that Tom dials up Bob Fesco's Twitter to get some tweets to make you think.
Yeah, Washington's defense was supposed to be a lead and carry that team. They've been awful. Like, they're not Chiefs bad, of course. But with Chase Young and their personnel, you're like, how on earth is the Washington football team defense as bad as
they've
been?
It's terrible. First round picks on that defensive line.
And they can't guard the deep ball, so let's throw it down the field.
Maybe Washington is looking at the Chiefs as a get right week.
Could be.
I'm sure if I'm Heinicke and Terry McLaurin, I'm feeling really good.
That's who?
Antonio Gibson.
Cody, what's coming up on the show today?
Cody, his name is Alex.
Bring Cody in. Go bring in Cody.
Oh my God! What in the bleeper?
I looked right at him and I said, "Cody."
So, Cody, what's coming up today?
Sorry, Alex.
Bink, we've got Ross Tucker coming up at 10:40 or so. NFL insider for Odyssey Sports. So he was in Philly last night, but we'll get his perspective on if the Chiefs can get going.
Big Chiefs fan.
He's a Chiefs hater, right?
Okay. He's a cocaine user and an alcohol.
No. I don't think he is. I don't think he's either one of those things.
Oh Lord!
It is Alex Gold from Cody and Gold. Probably known you longer than Cody, by the way.
I think so, the
first car I ever drove was yours, Josh. You've known this young man for a while.
I threw up my keys and didn't even look him in the eye at that point in time.
Go get Bob now.
Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, our 610 Sports Radio Chiefs insider, joining us in studio. It is the Chiefs Roundtable brought to you by Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Dan Sorensen is the marked man, certainly for fans. Andy Reid will discuss what goes into making a change next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.